This is the Word of God found in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Let me ask you to ask yourself a question, just within yourself. You don't have to bring this up to anyone else. Just silently within your mind, ask this to yourself and answer it honestly. How do you receive criticism from others? Do you receive it well? Does it automatically make you angry? Is there something within you that says, don't tell me what to do? If there is, you share something in common with me. And I want you to know it's probably something that quite a few people do. And it's something we need to try to bring under and control. Is your reaction to criticism ever, perhaps I should consider what this person is saying? Perhaps I should examine it, find whether it's good or not, change? Or maybe I should examine it and find that it really doesn't have much benefit to it, and discard it, however, thinking the best of them that they meant it well in offering it. Can you do that? Takes some grace, doesn't it? But I want you just to consider what this proverb means, and then I want to add a few to go with it, because this kind of teaching is something very common, especially in the book of Proverbs, but throughout the Bible. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. Now, this doesn't say that you obtain life by keeping instruction. That wouldn't even be true, would it? Were any of you born as a result of you keeping instructions? You know, did any little baby at 9 months think, I've got to read this birthing manual to figure out how to get out of here? Or did anybody ever keep instructions in order to get eternal life? I realize a lot of the religious world thinks yes. But the Bible teaches no. It's not by us keeping instructions that we obtain spiritual life, eternal life. It's by Jesus Christ keeping the law of God, even unto the sacrifice on the cross. That's how we obtain eternal life. So this doesn't say, and the wording here doesn't say, he obtains life that keepeth instruction. It says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. That is, somebody that listens to instructions and keeps it. That is, holds on to it, considers it, either sets it aside if it's not good, or changes and obeys it if it is good. Somebody that lives that way is in the way of life. They are in a path that helps them to be more close to God's ways and more at peace with other people. And then it gives the other side, as so often the Proverbs do. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Refuse means just rejects it out of hand. Reproof means criticism. If someone is reproved, they have been criticized. And he that refuseth reproof erreth. That means makes a mistake. It's a mistake. One way to receive instruction, to keep instruction, is being in the way of life. To refuse reproof or criticism, or sometimes as we like to call it, judgment, is a mistake. And yet, doesn't this permeate our culture? And it's in me a lot. Don't tell me what to do, or don't judge me. You know, the Bible never tells you to tell other people not to judge you. It tells us not to judge others unless we're willing to be judged by the same standard. It tells us not to be brought under bondage by other men. But the idea, just consider it this way. What if in the world, or let's narrow it just to the church. What if interpersonal relationships here were such that if somebody here criticized me, I wouldn't automatically think, don't tell me what to do, or don't judge me. But I would take it and listen to it and consider it and either graciously reject it or adopt it and change. What if I handled criticism that way? But then what if I gave criticism this way? I never gave anybody any criticism unless it was kindly given in accordance with God's word. Can you imagine what a peaceful group of people would be if they handled it that way? That every criticism given was received graciously, considered, and either set aside or adapted. And every criticism that you gave was given only in the kindest way and only given if it came from God's word. What a peaceful group of people that would be. But that's not the way most of us are. Most of us, if we get criticism, we automatically jump to, don't tell me what to do, or don't judge me. And then when we criticize others, often it's not given very kindly. And often it's not from the Word of God. It's not something that's even in accordance with the Word of God. It's just out of our own heads. Do you imagine that hurts fellowship between people? Of course it does. To automatically get mad when somebody criticizes you, or to automatically criticize somebody based off your own opinion without considering what God's ways are, that just propagates anger and hurt. Now I want you just to consider for a minute a few proverbs. This is the first one. Proverbs 10:17 says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Somebody that just automatically rejects criticism is making a mistake. Proverbs 12:1 tells us a little more about that mistake that a person makes. That says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Now that's good, clear, modern English. King James language is modern. It seems old to us, but it's not old English and it's not middle English. It is modern English. But let me put this more like in 21st century American. Whoever likes to be instructed likes gaining knowledge. But whoever hates criticism is stupid. Does that make it plain? That's what brutish means. It means if you hate to be criticized, you're stupid. Wow. The Bible just hits you in the face, doesn't it? That doesn't mean that you got to love being criticized. That you enjoy. It doesn't say you enjoy it. It just says there you don't bow up against it and hate the criticism, hate the fact somebody's given it, reject it out of hand, don't consider it, and get angry. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. And if you want to know what brutish means, it's what we would call today stupid. If you're somebody that when you hear criticism, instead of listening to it, considering it, making a good decision, proving all things, holding fast that which is good. If you're somebody that just rejects criticism out of hand, it's a stupid way to go. Now, let me balance this. Sometimes we can just take criticism too much to heart. A lot of criticism is unjust and invalid. A lot of people will hear criticism and think, well, okay, I need to do that. I must be worthless. I must be so mistaken. I might as well give up. No, that's not the proper way to handle it either. The proper way to handle it is to receive it. Try to make the assumption that it was given in kindness, even if it wasn't. Consider it. If it's good, adapt it. If it's not, let it aside and don't let it bother you anymore. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. But listen how clear that is. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Let's go to Proverbs 13, verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. These are all kind of same in the same line with a little different aspect. That is, if you're somebody that refuses instruction, you just don't like to listen to it, it tends to poverty and shame. But somebody that regardeth reproof, that is, somebody that pays attention to criticism, that tends to honor. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. If you're a person that can receive criticism well, it's a path to honor. Let's go to Proverbs 15. Here's a particular direction of instruction that we should all listen to at any age, but particularly if you're young enough to still have your father alive. This is Proverbs 15, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Prudent means wise. That means someone that's thoughtful. Somebody that just despises the father's instruction. You know, fathers have all kind of rules and all kind of things. Somebody that just despises that, it says, is a fool. But somebody that regardeth reproof, that is somebody that can receive criticism well, is prudent. They're wise. Let's go further down in Proverbs 15 to verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Have you ever been criticized by your own life? Doesn't it even involve another person telling you something? It's you look back on the choices you've made. I've done this. You look back on the choices you've made and you think, what was I thinking? It's just you feel stupid. You know that life itself is criticizing you. It's smacking you upside the head. You've done some things, you've said some things, you wish you could take them back and everything. And when you think about that and you think, well, these are things I did wrong and everything, there's two approaches you can take then. You can say, man, I messed up so bad, I might as well just give up. I might as well just punch out. Or you can listen to it and think, yeah, that was not wise. I made a bad choice. I'm not going to choose that way again. I'm going to be more thoughtful this next time. I'm going to pay more attention to what God's Bible says. I'm going to think about people that I respect and appreciate their opinion and try to make choices more like them. Not like that. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. And then look at the next verse. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Somebody that refuses instruction is damaging their own soul. But he that heareth reproof, that is, he that listens to criticism, gains understanding. All right, these aren't the only verses in the Bible that teaches that, but I hope it's coming across clear. Is that message getting through? We looked at Proverbs 10:17, Proverbs 12:1, Proverbs 13:18, Proverbs 15:5, verse 31, verse 32, over and over again. The Bible comes at it with this message. Learn to receive criticism well. Learn to receive instruction. Learn to receive correction. Don't just reject in anger and in pride. You get down to, that's kind of the bottom line. Somebody whose automatic knee-jerk reaction is don't tell me what to do or don't judge me. The real basis for that is I'm old enough to make my own decisions. Who are you to give me any advice? Underlying that is a very strong streak of not only stubbornness, not only what we would call spunk, but a big dose of pride. Do you know what the purpose of the Scripture is for? 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed this Bible into existence. It's not what you call living. It doesn't give eternal life by reading or obeying or preaching it. But to those whom God has given eternal life, this is the very word of the living God, without flaw. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That is, it can do things for you that will make your life more profitable. Not just talking financially. In fact, talking mostly spiritually. More profitable. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction unto righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Did you catch those four things that Scripture is profitable for? First, doctrine. It's the teaching of what God has done for His children. How precious that is. And it's taught in the Scripture. Profitable for doctrine. For reproof. What's that? It's profitable for criticism. That is, I can read through this book and sometimes it just beats me up, because my life hasn't been in accordance with this book. And that's good. That's good. It's profitable for reproof. As a matter of fact, it really ought to be our basis for any criticism that we give to others. Don't be hasty to criticize people. But when you feel like somebody does need some direction, some correction, some instruction, make sure every time you can that you base it out of what is taught here in God's Word. Going to take some study, and that you do it every time you can in love. That is, for the good of the person that you're trying to criticize. So it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. That is, the Bible isn't just good for telling you where you messed up, criticizing. It's profitable for telling you how to make it right. Don't you wish all criticism came with that? Somebody tells you where you've gone wrong, that they lovingly follow up by what you can do to make it right. God does that. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is, to develop a way of life to keep you from messing up in the first place. It's preventive in an ongoing way. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuseth reproof erreth. So the Bible is there. So we've got all kind of things criticizing us that are not even people. The Bible does it because the Word of God's profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction to righteousness. And then life itself does it. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. So our experience criticizes us. We are surrounded by good criticism. the Bible and our own lives. The question is, and then occasionally people that love us, and altogether too often people that don't love us. Now the question is, whether you're being rebuked by the Word of God, or you're being rebuked by your own life experience and you consider it, or you're being rebuked by somebody who really loves you, or you're being rebuked by somebody who doesn't love you at all, how are you going to react to it? Don't tell me what to do. That's the wrong way. Don't judge me. That's the wrong way. Oh yeah, all right, let me think about that. That's the right way. That's the right way. And I'll tell you, a lot of times the criticism, especially if it's from somebody that doesn't love you, is you think about it and you think, I'm not going to do that. And you set it aside rightly and you don't do it. Sometimes you have to do that even with loved ones. They're not always right. But you owe them some consideration because of their love. Children, if you're blessed with parents who stick with you, feed you, clothe you, put a roof over your head, you owe your parents honor and obedience and consideration of their criticism. You owe that to them because God instructs us. And then, of course, we have our own life experience. Sometimes we misinterpret those. Sometimes we interpret them correctly. But now you've got one source of criticism that's absolutely flawless. The Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you got a perfect source of criticism. Now, I want you to consider not only criticism, how much in the Bible there's submission. Listen to what Simon Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. Describes some submitting we're supposed to do. 1 Peter 2, let me start with verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. Submit yourselves to the government authorities. That's the teaching of the Bible. I can come over here to Ephesians chapter 5, and it tells us there in Ephesians 5, starting with verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Over and over, and I could go through the New Testament, and I'm not going to do it for interest of time, but over and over you get this, submit yourself to the government. Submit yourself to the authority of the church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Children are to submit themselves to their parents in the Lord. So all of this, listen to criticism, consider it, submit yourself, humble yourself. Are you just supposed to be a jellyfish and just do what anybody else ever tells you? No. You remember what Simon Peter said when he was standing before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 5? And they told him, you shall no more preach this gospel and bring this stuff up. And he said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said to Pilate. And Pilate says, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and power to let thee go? And the Lord said, thou couldst have no power at all, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that hath delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Remember when they threatened the Lord that Herod was going to come get him? And he said, go and tell that fox that I do miracles today and the second day and the third day shall rise. I don't think I have that exactly right. But he basically told his ones that would criticize and put him in fear, that he would do what God instructed him to do. Now here's the key. There's sometimes when you are going to have to disobey authorities. There's sometimes you're going to have to consider criticism or instruction and reject it. When is that time? Is it begotten out of that emotional reaction? Don't tell me what to do. I'm a grown up. I'll choose my own way. Don't judge me. Don't tell me what to do. Or is that disobedience out of the viewpoint of, I've got a higher authority to obey? You see, that's the basis of godly disobedience. Remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said when King Nebuchadnezzar told them? Now, I don't know what it is, but what you fellows had actually said, but if you're willing to bow down and worship my image now, well. But if you won't bow down and worship my image, then I will cast you into the fiery furnace, and who is the God that can deliver me out of your hand? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not careful to answer you, O king. That is, we're not hedging our bets. We're not trying to give you a diplomatic answer. We're answering you honestly. He said, whether our God will deliver us or not, we know not, but we will not bow before your image. You see, the Bible doesn't teach where you just give in to what anybody ever wants, where you accept criticism and abide by it, whether it's good or bad, where you get to the point where you just feel like you're worth nothing because some criticism has come to you, where you don't go to the extreme of, don't tell me what to do, or the extreme of, I just must be wrong about everything. I might as well give up. The Bible has you recognize that you are loved by a God that made the heavens and the earth, and He does have ways for you to live and actions for you to avoid, and you go according to the authority that He has over you, as well as if the government commands something and you don't particularly like it, doesn't seem to be to your advantage, then you go along and obey it until you have an opportunity to peaceably change it. But if the government would have you do something that you know that's not right, that's not right with God, that's when it's time to say, I won't keep this. I won't obey it. We ought to obey God rather than man. Now I want you to consider how this was the attitude of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He bowed, and He sweat not blood, but He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And He prayed, Father, Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, what follows that? Not my will, but thy will be done. How many times have we read this scripture? But let me read it again, because I want you to notice, in accordance with what's just been discussed, as the Lord went to the cross, what was His attitude? What was His mindset as He went to the cross? Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is, let this be your attitude. Jesus Christ had this attitude. Let this be your attitude. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. If anybody in the universe can say, don't tell me what to do, it's the one who does according to His will, purpose, and pleasure at all times because He's sovereign and almighty. But watch the Son of Man here. The Son of God is the one who created the universe. He does all His purpose, all His pleasure. He speaks and it is done. He commands and it stands fast. He hath done whatsoever hath pleased Him. But listen, the attitude of Jesus Christ, this perfect Son of Man, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let this attitude, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And listen to that verse 8. He humbled himself and became obedient. How does that sound as far as don't tell me what to do? Is that the attitude of our Lord Jesus going to the cross? Or is his attitude, not my will, but thy will, Father? You say, well, that's God the Father. His will is perfect. Amen. It is. A lot of people that criticize me, they're neither as accurate or as righteous or as loving as God the Father. But do you know, it's wise of me to hear them, consider it, bring it to what little I know about the counsel of Scripture, and act accordingly. And it says that if we do that, that there is honor. There's honor in that. That's what it says in Proverbs 13:18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Was the Lord Jesus Christ honored after he did the will of the Father? Yes, God's given him a name which is exalted above every name now. And one day, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Yes, they will do that because he is the Lord of glory. The proverb that we started with, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Think it was the Lord's humility and the Lord's obedience that gives us our hope today. We've just heard about that. The Lord hanging upon the cross in the darkness did that not because he enjoyed suffering. He didn't. Not because he enjoyed shame. He didn't. He despised the shame. But he did it there in humility and obedience. And the result, the goal was joy. He endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him. Can we try this year and for the remainder of our lives to let that mind be in us? Sometimes that seems so big, that perfect, righteous mind whose thoughts are higher above us than the heavens are the earth. That seems almost out of reach. So let's take a little baby step. He is in the way of life that receiveth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Let's take this little step in being more Christ-like. When somebody criticizes you, don't get angry. Don't fly up in their face. Just listen, bring it to the Word of God, and either set it aside or take it to heart accordingly, and therein be just a little bit more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus. God bless you.